Welcome back to the ABCs of ERP and Beyond. This podcast is all about enterprise resource planning software and how it helps with running a business through a dedicated system. If you're new to the world of ERP and are looking to learn about how it can provide reliable inventory control, accurate bookkeeping, real-time data analytics, amongst other features, then that's where this podcast comes in. We discuss things like business process best practices, ERP technology, organizational change management, and everything in between. And I am, as always, joined with my co-host, Nirav Shah.
Hello. Hey, Peter. How are you, sir? My name is Nirav Shah. I've been in the ERP space for 20 years in different capacities, implementation, pre-sales, services. And most recently, I'm president of AdCirrus ERP. We are a Dynamics Business Central and Acumatica partner. So we understand some of the challenges faced in this area, especially through, you know, inventory control and e-commerce. So excited to talk about this topic today.
We have touched upon this topic a few times, haven't we, really? And we've never really dedicated an actual episode to this. And we were discussing this a little bit earlier. You were talking to us about e-commerce and ERP, and it seems to be a bit of a knowledge gap out there for the e-commerce industry.
Yeah, absolutely. I was at a conference yesterday speaking at the Midwest e-commerce conference summit, and I talked about how ERP could help add a lot of value right out of the gate for smaller merchants, or merchants, you know, that maybe are kind of established or moving to the next level of growth, you know, from going from $1 million to $5 million. And how should these, you should strongly consider evaluating an ERP system and, you know, to help consolidate their processes. So instead of managing, you know, four or five different systems, or managing a single system from a back-end operation standpoint, to bring in their orders from their e-commerce sites into, let's say, an Acumatica or Dynamics Business Central, and, you know, get real-time sales order entry details, understanding how much inventory they have, getting a true, you know, shipping dispatch list of things I need to ship through the warehouse, having those shipments go through, sending those shipment tracking numbers back to the customer, back into their e-commerce, and just keep that whole circle of transactions kind of connected, right? And you don't have any disconnect there in how the data flows. So I was talking about that yesterday and realized very quickly that there's a lot of gaps that e-commerce merchants face day to day if they don't go down this route of looking at a more robust ERP system. They're adding these band-aid solutions, what I'll call them, which actually many of them do just fine initially, early on. Like if you're just starting out and you need QuickBooks for accounting, you're doing inventory in Excel, and maybe you're doing Google Docs for returns or whatever that is. Maybe that's okay for maybe the first, you know, month or two. But as you start getting some more sales in and you get into different platforms, let's say you start off on eBay and decide, hey, I'm now want to start selling on Amazon, and then I want to start selling on, you know, Etsy. Well, now you're on multiple platforms. You need to be able to consolidate all that. When you're at the point to do that, I think ERP systems are the right choice, the right ones that actually integrate natively right into the ERP is probably the best choice. So, you know, part of that was also looking at, well, if you don't have an ERP system, how are you keeping your inventory accurate, right? Like I said, it's, you know, Google Docs, or it's Excel spreadsheets, or the half version of inventory control that QuickBooks offers, right? Stuff like that. But it doesn't ever show you the true picture. And it's a lot of manual maintenance when you go that route, right? So that is a big limiting factor, I feel like, for merchants to grow. Because if you don't have accurate real-time data in this fast-paced world of e-commerce, right, you're going to lose customers. You're not going to be reliable. You're not going to be reliable to yourself to make sure you have the right products at the right time to meet that customer demand. So, you know, it comes down to understanding how closely you know your numbers. So you could provide that highest level of customer service at the end of the day. Because all other competitors out there, your competitors as a merchant, is doing that. And, you know, 1 day and 2 day delivery is the norm now. And if you can't do that and you're constantly late, well, let me tell you, they're not going to come back to your site, right? And they're going to move on. So it's really important to have your back end processes, you know, fully nailed down as you're embarking in this e-commerce journey to basically, you know, play the same game as everybody else, because you can't start off on the wrong foot, essentially. And inventory control is a huge component to that, where inventory control has to be accurate so your e-commerce sites is reporting the correct inventory numbers and everything stays organized in the back end. So that's, I think, what we want to definitely talk about today is, mm-hmm. is the challenges that these merchants are facing day to day by not utilizing a connected, integrated ERP system, you know, all the challenges they face with inventory control.
And I think really you say it's a key component. I'd say it's really the foundation of it. If you don't have a good stock accuracy, then you can't really build a good customer service off the top of that. This will get you, like, as percentage wise, this is the big one. And then those last few percents of on time delivery and all these kind of customer service metrics, they're really hard. They will always be hard, but they'll be impossible if you don't have a good foundation of inventory tracking in the first place.
That's right. It really is. you know, especially as a startup, let's say you're a startup merchant and, you know, you're buying, you know, you have limited cash flow, you're buying inventory and you're reinvesting it back in your business. You're updating your website, trying to update your platform. If you're not buying in optimal quantities, right, you're not getting those price breaks, and you don't know what your optimal quantities are because you have no way of understanding what your demand is looking like, you know, from month to month, week to week, quarter to quarter, right? That's going to set you back at the end of the day. So, you know, we're going to go through a number of different points today where, you know, forward thinking, what are best practices and start implementing those best practices now will help grow your business in the long run. And thinking about it too late could mean a lot of wasted resources, a lot of wasted money, right? So, you know, that's what we're trying to prevent, and hoping that listeners of this will take this, you know, seriously and really recognize that, hey, you know, I need to start off with the right systems in place so I could go ahead and properly order, be always one step ahead, proactive instead of reactive when it comes to inventory control. And I think that really does sum it up right there. It's being proactive for inventory versus reactive, because you're then fighting fires all day. You're taking inventory that you're supposed to ship to one customer, shipping it to another customer because they're screaming the loudest, right? And that's what you want to avoid. You know, you really want to avoid that.
So in no particular order, number one, and we've got a few sub points underneath each one. So let's start with demand forecasting or predictive forecasting.
Yeah. So this comes down to understanding what are your peaks throughout the year, and, you know, understanding, you know, your buying patterns for your customers, for your product, right? When does your product sell? When does it doesn't sell? How do you stay ahead of that? How do you let your vendors know that, hey, you know, I need to place these orders, but I don't need them until this certain date, right? Instead of saying, hey, Mr. Vendor, I need this tomorrow because I was late at this purchase order, because I was late understanding of when I should be ordering from you, right? That's going to really make them mad. You're going to pay expedited fees, right? It's going to add, you know, additional cost, take away from your margin. So it's the idea that, you know, these tools, ERP tools, have this demand forecasting, where you could enter in a forecast before you even get the customer order in the system, where you could kind of logically determine based on usages and sales and shipments throughout the year, historical information, you could start putting together a monthly or quarterly or yearly forecast to get ahead of the buying and to maybe help reduce your inventory costs. So you're not storing as much inventory as, you know, that you think you need, but you're maybe spacing it out based on what your demand is doing, right? Or you're buying maybe, you know, maybe 2 months before your peak is coming, right? Essentially. So you're utilizing these tools in the system that are designed for you to optimally plan. And I'm going to throw around a couple acronyms here, MRP and MPS. So these are kind of really old philosophies in the manufacturing distribution world called materials requirement planning and master production scheduling. And what these concepts are designed to do is to take planning policies. You may say for a specific item, I need to stock, 100 pieces, or I buy this in quantities of 50, and I look at my demand out indefinitely, but I only order in 2-week chunks. So I create one purchase order for demand that's due every 2 weeks. So these are these variables, that you are assigning to your items. And then there's algorithm and logic in these ERP systems that look at those variables and the actual demand and the actual on-hand quantity and give you what the suggested supply should be for that. So go out and say, okay, well, based off of what you have on hand, based on what's on forecasted, based on what actual customer orders you have, and then also based on what the optimal stocking quantities and things like this are and ordering quantities, here's what I suggest you order and when you should order by and when you need to receive this in by to keep you just in time. So I just rambled off there. What if people don't know what MRP and MPS is, they may just feel like I'm talking algebra, but I just rambled off there, a full kind of set of equations that a system is designed to do out of the box. Where if someone tried to do that by hand every single day, it's almost impossible for all their items, right? And the system, the ERP system is designed to do that in mass data. You're talking about 200,000 parts, and it'll just start cranking out what the suggestions are, within, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever that is, right? And you're getting the power of understanding your inventory and ordering at the right times, saving on expedited costs and all that stuff, using a solution like this where that has demand forecasting in it, right? You may start off as a merchant with 10 SKUs, okay? But let's say you start growing into, 50 SKUs, 1,000 SKUs, 100,000 SKUs. How are you going to manage that, planning each item at a time? Can't, right? You need a team of 10 people to basically do MRP, MPS calculations in Excel spreadsheets for you, essentially, right? Or you may use a point solution that you'll do. Maybe you use Inventory Planner by Sage, right? It's not full-blown ERP. It's a solution that, these merchants could hook into only for inventory planning. But really, how good is that if you can't take that and then have true visibility of inventory when inventory comes in? And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But, these ERP systems have the tools out of the box to get proper demand forecasting results. So you stay ahead of your planning, essentially.
And quite often they can automate this as well, can't they? These ERPs have automated replenishment that allows them to generate purchase orders or production orders when, say, inventory levels reach a particular level, whether that's straight down to the safety stock, whether that's at the reorder point. There's lots of different ways of replenishing stock based on the rules that you can set up in the system.
Yeah.
And I think on top of that, that's when you can really start looking at, you might get price breaks from your suppliers. So you might not want to just immediately, as soon as you hit a safety stock level, buy the minimum amount to keep you on top of that. You might want to wait. You might want to eat into your safety stock a little bit more to be able to capitalize on these price breaks.
Exactly.
Good luck trying to do that in Excel.
Right. And remember we said, Peter, 80% of spreadsheets have an error in them. So,
yep.
Good luck trusting that data if you could do it in Excel.
Yeah. That actually leads us nicely on to the next point here, you saying about trust. Accurate inventory between e-commerce and their platforms versus ERP.
Yeah. I mean, taking those examples that we're talking about, is you're selling in multiple platforms. Let's say eBay, Amazon, right? You have FBA, you have FBM, possibly. You also do Etsy, right? You have your own website. Well, there's customers coming in from all these different, these different doors that you have. How accurate is that inventory, right? You need a single source of truth, which would be your ERP system. So your ERP system would say, hey, we have 100 remaining on hand, and then you could add logic or rules saying, okay, if I have 100 remaining, I want to show on Amazon 30% of that's available. So Amazon will show that we have 30. And then you want to say, okay, for eBay, you want to show that you have 10 available, 10% available. So eBay will show that you have 10 available. And let's say the rest are going to be on your website. Okay, so the system's going to say the remaining quantity that you have available on hand is going to show as on hand available on your website. So when people are purchasing through these different platforms, they see only the amount of inventory that's available on that platform. And you know, you're not overcommitting yourself to 2-day deliveries when you don't have stock, right? The other side of it is, let's say you only have 10 available, and you want to say to the different platforms, if I have 10 available, show the customer I have zero because I'm in a process of reordering, and that 10 is going to be fulfilled on maybe orders that are already placed. So I don't want to go ahead and commit those 10. So show on the website we don't have any on hand, and then run my forecasting or MRP and NPS for me to order more. Right? So the false zero is an important concept as well, where if you have a single source of truth, right, the customer could rely, you know, better on your inventory on the platforms, right? And if you have accurate inventory numbers in your ERP and you have rules defined on how much inventory to show in these different platforms, your customer is going to be able to rely on your inventory numbers because the buying person is changing, right? The sales model is changing. The millennial buyer doesn't want to talk to anybody. They want to just go on the website and place an order and only call them if there's an issue with their order. Other than that, they're expecting everything to be a smooth transaction. They're going to place your order. They see how much you have on hand. You're going to get an estimated delivery date. All is good. All is good. Right? And that's the experience that they're looking for. So, you know, the minute that you start sharing with them false information that, hey, yeah, we thought this was going to be available, it's not available, and that happens to them 2 or 3 times on your site, they're not going to come back. So, having accurate inventory syncs between your e-commerce sites and ERP is very critical for that experience.
I like that. I've never heard of that term before. False zero, you said. Okay. So I can say that I've got zero because I've got down to a certain level, and then that will allow me to have it almost as contingency stock, or I'm in the process of reordering, so I might eat into that. So let's say zero now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Exactly.
Nice.
And you know, as you grow, these are things you got to think about. That you know, how is my ERP going to be able to support my data on my e-commerce? What makes the most sense, right? You need to have a single source of truth. And you know, with your back-end system, if it's set up correctly in an ERP, you know, it's going to make that front end a lot easier to manage, and you can really just focus on that customer experience.
Very good. Number three, real-time inventory tracking.
Yeah, this one doesn't get, you know, this one falls more in the ERP side than it does on the e-commerce. Because
Okay.
if you don't have your ERP correct in the back end, it's never going to be correct in the front end, right? So maybe we should have kind of just flipped these two around. But if it's real time, and let's say you have your controller, you have an accountant, you have your warehouse person that needs to know how much inventory we have correctly. Right, inventory comes in on receiving, it automatically updates on hand inventory. Everybody in the organization sees it. Automatically will sync to your e-commerce site. The inventory has come in and is available for sale. Let's say inventory ships out the door. Automatically, the inventory gets adjusted, saying on hand inventory has decremented. Everybody sees that, right? The system sees that. So in predictive forecasting and demand forecasting, the system forecasted that you're going to sell this much. So it's already placed POs in advance to fulfill quantity that you sold to keep your optimal stocking levels, right? Real-time inventory tracking. A lot of people in the warehouses are doing RFIDs now, right? Where, you know, they want that tracking as soon as it comes in, or as soon as, you know, they don't have time maybe to do physical inventories or anything like that. So they're implementing RFID technology. seeing what's in transit, what's coming maybe from one location to another if you're a multi-location site, right? That also then kind of can goes into containers. As you buy containers from China and you have multiple POs going into a single container, well, you need to know when that container hits the water, because your orders are counting on that. Your salespeople are counting on that. So once it hits the water, it goes in transit. Once it goes in transit, you know you have full visibility of that container coming to your warehouse, when it's going to come to your warehouse, how much is available to sale, right? And then when it comes to your warehouse, unloading it and putting it into inventory so you could sell it to customers. So that real inventory tracking, you know, that whole supply chain really is critical to understand what is coming to your door and what's at your door and what's inside the warehouse.
With multi-locations, I'm going to ask the stupid question. The ERP is kind of combining multiple channels. So I can have an e-commerce site, I can sell on Amazon, I can sell on my own website, and I might have people directly phoning in. Can I replicate that then in my ERP rather than just having one grand inventory location? Can I have, like, in my ERP an Amazon location and then
absolutely,
and like a Shopify location?
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. And I think, you know, that's probably the right setup, that this inventory is completely separate, right? So you could see how much you have in your Amazon warehouse versus how much you have in your maybe in your 3PL warehouses, right? If it's physically not in your area, your location, right, it should be a separate warehouse. I think that's good practice from an ERP standpoint anyways, to keep that data separate. 3PL, obviously, it's called, it's known for third-party logistics. So these warehousing companies, they share their overhead across, you know, multiple different vendors or customers where you stock your product there. And then you pay a per fee of them, you know, kind of administering the product, shipping the product, getting it prepared, receiving the product directly in there, just like an Amazon type of philosophy where they charge you per sale or whatnot, right? So, yeah, for sure, you want to know how much inventory is going to be at these different offsite locations, whether you own the warehouse or not. It's your inventory at the end of the day. You need to know what's there. So it should totally be separated across these multiple locations, even if they're, you know, virtual locations, and but you own the inventory and they're in separate parts of the country, for sure, that you need to keep that a separate inventory. Containers could be a separate location, or it could just be a transfer order coming in from, you know, a transport order that's coming in from overseas. So you see things in transit. So, you know, how you set that up is important. And Peter, you bring up a great point, because you can't just jumble everything together. And if you have a clear distinction of what the status of that inventory is and where it's sitting, it makes the job of the sales team much easier. And you could send that information to your e-commerce sites easier. So you could understand how much you want to share on the e-commerce site versus you don't want to share.
So a container can come into like one main warehouse. Physically, it's probably going to come into my warehouse. And then I might want to transfer a bit to Amazon, a bit to show on my Shopify account,
yep,
et cetera.
Yep, exactly.
Very nice.
Exactly. And more and more, you're finding, you know, Amazon, FBAs, you're finding 3PLs. Even, here's another concept, direct drop shipping. You may actually own inventory, but the vendor is holding your inventory. They haven't shipped it to you because a vendor drop shipped it. So that vendor location should be a location in your ERP. See how much inventory you own there, so you know how much you could sell, right?
Nice.
Yeah. And that's a really emerging concept. You know, a lot of these merchants don't want to hold inventory. They want to just get a drop ship from the vendor. Well, you still own that inventory. You need visibility of it so you could send that information properly to your e-commerce sites.
In a wonderful world, we would always just be dispatching goods and they never come back. But sometimes we do. So the next point we have on our list is product returns. How do we manage inventory when some stuff is coming back to us?
Yeah, you know, this is such a convoluted world for merchants. So hard to maintain, right? It's the customer calls saying, hey, this product is no longer working. It's not what I ordered. It's defective, right? I need to send it back. Well, sure, send it back, but the real challenge begins is, how do we identify that this was returned back from a customer? Is this going to be sellable? Do I have to issue a credit, right? Where does this go? What happens to this data at the end of the day? So that world of returns is so disconnected in for especially startup e-commerce merchants out there, where if implementing an ERP out of the gate is part of the plan, it's going to help alleviate a lot of headaches on the return process, because the ERP could take the return, fully identify their return against a source sales order or invoice that was sent to the customer, quarantine that inventory when it comes into the dock. So you see that inventory came in. You could do some sort of dispositioning to that inventory and then turn around and put it back on stock on hand if you're ready to resell it again or scrap it, right? And you could start accumulating this data and understanding, why you're getting returns. What's happening? I mean, is something happening in transit? Is something happening to the product that the vendor needs to be notified of? So returns is a component that gets overlooked oftentimes, and merchants don't realize, hey, I need to have a better return process because this is kind of crappy. I'm just losing money here and I have no idea why. So there's an example I talk about with Amazon in this case. I think there was a buyer on Amazon, and this was on the news. He bought like $3.2 million of electronics from Amazon. And what he would do is that he would buy it, take the goods out of the box, and then he would fill the box with sand, the exact same weight of what it was before, and return it back to Amazon. Amazon would receive this thing in, and they never opened the box. They just took it, put it in a corner, kind of what we were talking about earlier, Peter. They put it in a corner and just said, "Oh, we'll get to it later." Took almost after 3.5 years, when they started opening these boxes, they found sand. Nothing but sand. I was like, unbelievable. A big behemoth like Amazon had a broken return process. And it's like, oh my God. So, returns is a thing. And you got to take it seriously. It's just not always, what you're selling the customer, you're shipping to the customer, but what happens on the back end? We need to return something back in. You should definitely have a strict, seamless process in place, so you understand and the customer knows the reliability of that return, and what you're going to do with the return, and maybe even get a credit back from your vendor who's giving you that defective product. So you could do all that through a more integrated ERP system.
We said this earlier, and I said I think that every single warehouse out there has a corner of it that has these returns gathering dust.
Yeah.
And I out of sight, out of mind. Yeah, is that in your ERP? Is it not?
You know what's a good episode we should do on product returns? That would be a good one. Maybe we'll show that in Acumatica or Business Central. That might be pretty cool. Show how that works.
Here's another stupid question for you then. Product returns, I guess we can categorize these.
We can.
That was a loaded question. I
Yeah.
know you can.
You can.
You can stipulate product return types,
Yeah,
can't you?
yeah.
Whether it's damage in transit or quality control or
Exactly.
whatever it happens to be.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And that information is important. If your livelihood is the products that your vendors are giving you, or some sort of light manufacturing you're doing, you're turning around selling it on your e-commerce site, you can't get better unless you have that feedback. Like, why are returns happening? Where should I focus most of our attention? Where do I remediate this through my processes so I reduce the number of defects that I get, right? Things like this. So yeah, it's super important to understand why it is and not just kind of bury it under a rug and say we got to return and let's not put more effort or thought into it.
I would imagine this is particularly important for distributors. They are buying finished goods from vendors and then just selling finished goods to their customers. So it's not like they're going to really be opening every single box to check for quality control. They kind of rely that their vendor has done that. So of course, if your product's coming back, you want to know why.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
Our final point then, inventory costing. So accurate costs based to what we expect to pay.
Yeah, I think a lot of new merchants, they forget about this element because costing is huge in terms of when you evaluate your margin, right? All they see is, yeah, here's what I sold it for and here's what I bought it for. But what about all the costs in between, right? It's not only the PO cost always that you buy something for, and the PO price may be different than the AP price that comes in, right? You may think that you're buying something for 10 bucks, but the AP of that, the accounts payable for that PO may come in at 12 bucks because the vendors, added maybe some freight charges in there, or maybe they've added some tax or something like that. So actually, your true cost of that inventory is $12, not $10. So a lot of merchants skew this up, and they don't get this right. So it's, when you have a more robust ERP system that's GAAP compliant, generally accepted, accounting principles, you have the ability to really capture your true inventory costs and get a correct margin to help evaluate the profitability of the sale. So, a lot of times you'll have the PO cost, and then you have the AP, and then you may get a freight bill that comes after the fact, and that freight bill needs to be allocated back to the cost of the inventory when you purchased it. Right, what's called landed cost essentially. And even outside of that, there's indirect costs that should be associated to that product. So it could be, the warehouse person in the back, the receiving cost, there's the person receiving inventory, they're breaking down the pallets, they're doing some sort of inspection. That cost should be landed back to your item. That's your true profitability. That's your true cost of holding that inventory sitting on your shelf with all this cost accumulated on it before it's sold. And then you could say, okay, well, actually, yeah, we bought this for $12. We had a dollar of freight, and then we had a dollar of labor on it. So it's really $14 of cost on that. And you sold it for, let's say you sold it for, I don't know, let's say you sold it for $11 because you thought you're making a dollar margin, but actually you lost money on it. And that's like mind-blowing to people. Like, holy cow, I didn't realize I had to include all those costs. Yeah, well, that's definitely above the line cost in your gross margin because those are costs that you can't get rid of. Those are directly attributed to the product itself. Right? It's not like, it's buying stamps. It's not like, buying fuel for your car, for a vehicle. These are costs directly attributed to the product. And that should be included in the cost. And then you could see your true margin on whether you're making money on that product or not. So inventory costing is a huge challenge for merchants because they think they know, but they're missing a lot of costs when they don't, run an ERP system. Because an ERP system is designed to accumulate and organize all that cost. So you could, truly see all the different layers that make up that value, that unit cost value.
Sorry, that's just the cat going past. Yes, no, I completely agree. And I've seen this before where we just put it down as a line on the purchase receipt as variance.
Yeah.
That's it. It's like, are you now factoring this back in?
Yeah.
Do your sales team know about this? And I know there's going to be certain variance, but at what point, it's a bit of a gray area, isn't it? It's like, at what point do you say this is too much variance? We need to actually rebaseline our costs.
Yeah, and that's you got to continue. It's constant analysis of that, right? What are you landing against that item, against that unit cost, right? At what point do you get more of a standardized cost for that item, right? Do you realize that the variants are coming because you're ordering too little? Maybe you need to order a little more to get better pricing. So you could get to take care of quantity breaks. Maybe you're ordering your freight provider is charging your rates like way too high. Maybe you need to renegotiate those rates, essentially, right? But once you have your costing and you start identifying and evaluating, reviewing it, you could come to those decisions, and make decisions better for your business when it comes to, understanding your variances.
That's really some great points. I didn't really think about this until we started brainstorming ideas for podcast episodes. I thought, well, inventory is inventory, surely. It's just a number on a screen. But there's so much more to it.
Yeah, there really is. And when you're a retail online retailer, a merchant, I would probably say inventory control, inventory management has to be top of mind. And the best ways to ensure that you're protecting your business from any blind spots, from inventory control, from bookkeeping, accounting management, visibility of item usages, planning, the only way to go in my mind is an ERP system. To start off on the right foot and to get all this under your belt right away so you can manage that customer experience.
Very good. And I will say, like I did at the start of this, if there's anyone listening and you're new to the world of ERP, and you've been bombarded with NURAVs acronyms all over the place, and you want to know a little bit more, obviously just reach out to us. The contact details will be in the description of the episode. If there's anything you'd like clarifying or a deeper dive on, let us know. We'll take all the feedback
The good and the
and.
bad, by the way. Good and
The good and the bad. I can't say that we're going to treat them both the same.
the
But yeah, we welcome the feedback, and both of our details will be available at the bottom of the episode.
This has been fun. I really enjoyed talking about this. I think we're going to have a ton more kind of e-commerce topics, really help the community, and talk about ERP. And how both of those technologies together can merge and create like great harmony at the end of the day. So we'll keep expanding on this. And if there's topics that that out there our viewers want us to look at and talk about, please send those suggestions, and we'll love to expand on that and provide our thoughts in those areas. So this is a big space, a huge space. So I think we're gonna have enough to research and get back to everybody on best practices.
Very good. Until next time, Rav, take care, and I'll see you on the next episode.
Absolutely. Bye.